You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Off the Record is a production of iHeartRadio. Hello and welcome to another bonus episode of Off the Record. I'm your host, Jordan Runtog. Thanks so much for listening. Our latest chapter delves into a dark era for David Bowie, the months spent in Los Angeles in 1975. He battled his deepest demons in the City of Angels, literally in a sense. He warded off haunting hallucinations and paranoid delusions with the aid of exorcisms and supernatural spells. Famously fortified with a diet of cocaine, milk, and red peppers, he stayed awake for days at a time, driving himself to the brink of madness through malnutrition and sleep deprivation. "It was a dangerous period for me," he would admit in later years. "I was at the end of my tether, physically and emotionally, and had serious doubts about my sanity." Somehow, during the depths of his personal hell, he produced the landmark album Station to Station, which many fans rank among the best work he ever made. With just 6 songs, including the sprawling title track, he redefined not just his sound, but the sound of rock and roll. The album opens with the sound of a steam train, perhaps not coincidentally the vehicle that brought the plane-phobic Bowie to Los Angeles in the spring of 1975. For the first few months of his stay, he lived with his friend Glenn Hughes, a rock icon in his own right. Glenn was in the midst of his tenure as the bass player for Deep Purple. They'd met in Hollywood the previous year when the band was recording their hard rock epic Stormbringer and David was in town for his Diamond Dogs extravaganza. The pair hit it off and stayed in touch. When Bowie moved from New York to LA to make his feature film debut in Nick Rogue's The Man Who Fell to Earth a few months later, he decided to stay with Hughes to keep a low profile. Desperate to escape the messy legal and business fallout from a split with manager Tony DeFries, David sought refuge in a friend. And certain substances. The excesses of the period have gone down in rock lore. You've heard most of them, I'm sure. Witches exercising pools, phantom falling bodies, Nazi newsreels on loop. Thankfully, both men made it out of the grips of addiction. David decamped to Berlin to break new musical ground with albums like Low and Heroes, which we'll get to soon enough. Glenn Hughes continued to enjoy a remarkable run in Deep Purple, Black Sabbath, the supergroup Black Country Communion, and a host of solo projects. Most recently, the Rock and Roll Hall of Famer joined the group The Dead Daisies, writing nearly all of the lyrics for their latest album Holy Ground, which was released in January. In addition to bass duties, he also sings lead on the collection, proving once more, just in case there's any doubt, why they call him the voice of rock. I spoke to Glenn about his new music and his time as David Bowie's housemate back in 1975. I guess to start, I wanted to ask you about the first time you met David Bowie. It was in the summer of 74 when you were in L.A. recording Stormbringer.
That's right.
How did you first get connected?
We were down there, you know, making the album. And number one, I didn't know he was in the hotel. And it was a Saturday night. I was having a bit of a party. And his wife showed up, Angie. And she came to me and asked me if I'd like to meet him. So I went upstairs to his suite with myself and Keith Moon and Ronnie Wood, my friends. And I met David for the first time. And as you know, in that period, he was going through his R&B period. And he was all fascinated by Black American music, as most of us were back then and still are. And he was fascinated that I was this rock and roll guy that was really into R&B. He had seen the California Jam video concert that I did with Deep Purple. And he was taken back that I was such a R&B fanatic. And he was in that world at that time. He was, as you know, forever changing. And that's the thing about David we loved the most. He was never, ever going to stop changing.
Yeah, you can say that again. I know you were both big John Lee Hooker fans. Was that an early point of connection early on?
Yeah, we spoke about all the blues legends and we talked about the soul legends. And we were very, very similar in what we believed was the right thing to do at that period for me as well. That was the night we met and we basically went on a long run together. Which we can talk about, but in general, it's difficult when you actually. It was difficult being in a place with David where he wanted to spend a lot of time with me talking about whatever. So we got a chance to do more meeting up when I went to New York. I spent a lot of time in New York, but in general, I'd say the summer of '74 was when we first made that meeting.
What were your first impressions of David in the flesh? Because as you said, you're hanging out with Ronnie Wood and Keith Moon. In what ways was he different than those guys?
When you get one-on-one with someone, it doesn't matter if they're profile or not. You have to give yourself the opportunity to hear what they're saying and feel what they're saying. And David was a person that liked to make a point. He had so much energy behind everything that all he was concerned about was making the next move on the table for him. That would have been Young Americans. You know, he had David Live out already. And he was really getting ready to do Young Americans.
Is there anything that you learned from him in that era? I think it was in your memoir where you said that he would tell you, you know, if everyone's going right, go left, you know, go against the grain. Like, well, how did he share that with you? How did he show that to you?
Well, he knew I was friends with Stevie Wonder, and he knew that I loved Stevie's work. And he got me alone one day. He said, listen, Glenn, you should listen, or you should maybe listen to something else, or, you know, some other artists. Like, he always kept on about Nina Simone. But I understood what he was saying, because he wanted to go against the grain. Such an ego way. He just loved fighting that his own cause, you know. And you could never pin David down. He was always changing. That's the most remarkable thing I've learned about him, which is I've taken into my life. Never be afraid to change. The only things that happens in life are pain and change, and there's been a lot of both of those.
Evolution. Yeah, that's a beautiful way to put it. One of my great concert regrets that I never got to see was the Diamond Dogs tour. I understand you saw it in
I think
September of 74. What was that like to see in person?
I was at the old Universal Amphitheater when it was outside, and he did five nights. I was there for two shows. Oh, it was incredible. Truly a master. We all know about David, a master at his craft. Completely a master at his craft. Dave, I remember Dave Sanborn on sax, and Ava Cherry. And I hadn't known too much what he was doing on that particular run until I saw it live. And again, this is when he was deeply into the R&B connection, which I have always been. And when I saw him on those two occasions at the Universal, it was mind-altering. It really was. The thing with David, he was mysterious. And that's the way I like to keep my life, too. It's being aware of with your surroundings and having some privacy and always, you know, turning right instead of turning left.
How did it come to pass that David came to live in your house in the spring of 1975? Because you were away on tour when he first arrived, right? So he was all by himself.
And this is the crazy thing here. This is David Bowie going to travel alone on a train from New York to LA, alone. And he wanted me to pick him up at the Grand Central down in LA. And I couldn't meet that because I was actually in Bucharest or Paris. So I had a guy that was working for me at my house pick him up. And when I got home 3 days later, he was there in my home. I think I spoke about this before. He wanted to disappear from New York or disappear from the people he was working with, if you will, or how can I say, Tony DeFreeze. He wanted to distance himself from the business aspect, and he wanted to come and stay at my house, and we kept an agreement that no one would know, no media or no friends would know he was coming out. So when I got home there, after being in Paris, I was 3 days late to that party, and he was there waiting, and we had some great, great, great times together.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what was a typical day like for you? What would you like to do together?
Well, we didn't sleep a lot. what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to grandiose. I'm not going to, you know, set the benchmark for being grandiose with drug behavior. Let's just say we were both enabling each other, if you will. It was the two of us. We did burn the candle. But we did get a lot of work done as far as, you know, bits and pieces of music. He was totally full-blown into the Third Reich. He was fascinated by the World War I and World War II. And he would watch videos and all kinds of stuff in my home. But the fascinating part about David's stay at my house was this is where he came up with the album Station to Station. And I was privy to see that at work in front of my very eyes.
Oh, that is one of my all-time favorite albums. I mean, what was his creative process like around this time? Was he still doing the William Burroughs kind of cut and paste for his lyrics?
He was absolutely doing that. He was, and that was new to me. And it took me a while to realize, what is it? He never really told me until one day I said, hey, what's going on here? And he walked me through it, you know. So again, he was pressing another button, wasn't he? That album was completely off kilter for. I thought it was a wonderful piece of music, but again, he was showing me, kind of laying a blueprint out for me, really. I mean, about what I should do. I mean, I was in Deep Purple, as you know, a great big rock band. A hard rock band, and I was questioning if that's where I wanted to stay. And I mean, everybody knows I've always been a Black American soul nut. Can't help myself. That's the way I was raised. And what David was doing now on Station to Station was far different to what was going on in Young Americans. And again, this is the thing that intrigued me about him. He wasn't frightened to delve into something new.
And I think of your first solo album, I think of Play Me Out. I mean, that's got a lot of soul and funk influences on it, too, I feel like.
Yes, he was going to produce that, but he was going to, with Iggy, to Berlin. So that didn't happen. But we were thinking about Play Me Out with David producing it. And I was definitely in that mindset, as you can hear the album. He's unlike anything else I've ever done before. It's a complete orchestrated background singers, deep funk and soul. And it's, I wouldn't say it's a tip of the hat towards David, but it definitely it gave me a lot of confidence to do my own work like that.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you keep in touch with David after he moved out of your house and in with Michael Lippman and eventually into his own place in L.A.?
Yes, I did. And I spent some time with David down on Dohines. And also when he went to back to the U.K. with Iggy and the Sayles brothers. We kept in touch for a while. And it was an interesting... You know the story. David always changed with the weather, you know, and it was different with David. But if you're really close to him, he kept in touch with you.
I know those times. I mean, he's mentioned, I think you said too, it was kind of a dark time for him in the mid-70s and also for you. But you came out the other side of those kind of scary times.
I did.
Getting sober in 1997. Where did you find the strength? What got you out of it?
Being sick and tired. It wasn't, I didn't get sober for a girl, or I got sober because I knew that I couldn't survive. There was a point where, you know, I kept asking my higher power for help, and he was busy, obviously, and he didn't get to me on Christmas until Christmas Day, 1991. And I had that breakthrough moment where I had someone drive me to the hospital and check me in. It was something that I needed to do for myself. I didn't know what was going on. I was so paranoid, but I knew it was going to take me if I didn't surrender. And that's what I did.
And you are healthy today and busier than ever. You just released your first full-length LP with the Dead Daisies, who you joined in 2019. How did you first link up with these guys? Because I know you go pretty far back with Doug Aldridge.
Yeah, I mean, Doug was in my band in 2015. And then, you know, I've been so busy. About 18 months ago, I got a call from Dead Daisies management if I'd like to meet with David Lowie, who lives in New York, and he flew out to meet me in L.A. We had dinner at the Sunset Marquee. We had an exchange of words about what they wanted to do moving forward with their own brand. Would I like to be involved with it, and would I bring some songs with me? And I said, sure. And my only concern was I need to be friendly with these people. I got to be really honest. At this point in my career, I got to be really part of a brotherhood. And that's what we have accomplished.
I was going to say, working solo for a number of years now, how was it adapting back into sort of a band mentality? Was that a big mental leap for you? Or
it wasn't so easy, actually, because I have been running my own thing for so long. It was one step at a time. Remember, this album was recorded right before COVID. recorded November, December, 2019. So, and in France, which is a wonderful place to, in Saint-Rémy, in the south of France, La Fabrique Studios, a huge chateau, a remarkable place to make music and to, prepare some songs.
There was an interview you gave recently where you said that a lot of your songs, almost all your songs, start on acoustic guitar, which surprised me. Even the hard-rocking ones start from this comparatively delicate place. What is it about starting on acoustic guitar that really works for you? Does it allow you to see, hear the dynamics more clearly, or what is it?
I think for a time in my life, I was writing on electric guitar. Excuse me. And then the last few albums, I wanted to write acoustically. Because if you can create a song acoustically, you can really hear everything that you need to hear. There's no effects on the guitar. There's no nothing. And I've written some very heavy songs on the Black Country album on acoustic guitar. So for me, the acoustic has been my friend, really. I've been a really close friend.
I love so much of the album. I love the track Like No Other.
Thank you.
You cut that one live, right? You cut a lot of these tracks live.
Yeah. I'm not a Pro Tools guy. I've been making records a long, long, long time. And let's just say in the 90s, I did a few things that didn't sound right for me. And then, sort of early 2000s, I started to say, I'm going to go back to making, especially on Soul Mover, which when my dear friend Chad Smith, we went in and cut that live. And I've been doing that with Black Country and all the solo albums I've done since then.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I have to ask you, as a passionate amateur bassist, I'd never forgive myself if I don't. How do you get that bass tone? What do you use?
and this is a good question. Off the top of my head, the obvious answer for me is it's in the fingers. It's first of all, it's in the soul, and then it passes through. It's in the fingers. I think it's in the way certain people play instruments, whether it's the way John Bonham held a drumstick. So certain soccer players kick a ball. It's an acclamation of the singularity of a tone, or like Iommi's got that tone. And for me, I got a lot of basses, and I can pick any of them up, and you wouldn't even know there's a difference. But I guess I truly am a man that loves to play bass guitar. And people basically know me as the singer, but and a lot of people don't. Well, not a lot of people, but people don't know I play bass. Now they're starting to realize I do, and they're going, "Hang on a minute, have you heard Like No Other?" And they like, it's just a piece of Glenn. It's just what I do.
Now you're mostly a plectrum guy, right, as opposed to a finger style player.
And I'll tell you why. When I joined a band called Finders Keepers when I was 17, I got a call on a Wednesday night. I was playing guitar in another band, and on Friday night they wanted me to join. And I had 2 days to learn the songs. And
2 days
for me, yeah.
Wow.
And I couldn't play with my fingers because you have to learn how to do that. So, but what I need you to know is, and anybody hearing this, I think with my fingers and I sound like I'm playing a pick. I've learned from the greatest bass players in the world, from the people that don't use a pick, the greatest bass players. And I've learned from them what not to play. You know, it's important for me not to, listen, I do rage on the bass. I think I like the water. But if you listen to the work I've done in any band I've ever been in, there's a lot of holes and spaces. And I'm in love with playing bass again. I think it's pretty obvious if you hear what I'm doing now, you can see I'm having a lot of fun. A lot of fun. And long may that continue.
Absolutely. And I hope we can get out there and see you having fun very soon. How have you been doing in the past year or so? Have you been adapting, staying healthy and happy? Have you been writing a lot?
I've been writing a lot. I've wrote a whole bunch of new material. I have a studio here. Let's just say 6 months of last year was locked in my studio preparing some new work. And that's ongoing. I have been blessed to be a songwriter. In the 70s and 80s, I had some success as a writer, but when I got sober in the early 90s, that all changed for me because I started to think about the human condition and walking through the fear and letting go. Those things for me are so important.
Is there something since you got sober that is the most important thing that you've learned since then, something that you would like to pass along to fans and listeners?
You can't live in the past. There's some wonderful memories I've got, and some indifferent and crazy memories, but I can't go there because it can't be redone. And if I go into the future, that's a dangerous topic because you just don't know. And the only place I'm going to be is totally here in this moment. Now, it's taken me a lifetime to talk like this, a lifetime to understand about the present moment. And it's very basic to me, very, very basic. If I'm either in the past or the future, I just got to remember, come on now, you're not there, just stay here. And if I stay here in the present, then I'm going to have a good time.
Makes you a happier person. It probably makes you a better musician too, just being there and hearing what's happening in that exact moment and how to respond to it.
Oh, it really does. Yeah. These new songs I've written of late are all about that. Actually, Holy Ground, the album I wrote the lyrics to, is about the same subjects as well. So I think for the rest of my career, if I can say this, that's what I'm going to be singing about. I don't like to sing too much about fiction. I like to talk about stuff that we're all going through and to be a healer, if you will.
Off the Record is a production of iHeartRadio. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and leave us a review. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Minnie Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.